We have today. That's the good part. This is a day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is really a liturgical, almost theme. It's one that the Hebrews would use in several feasts of that they celebrate. It wasn't just one thing. And if you look at it, the context sometimes when they were doing it, the situation was bad in David's life and Jehoshaphat's life. When they're saying this is the day, their situation was worse than ours. But yet they would make this comment. They'd say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We'll be glad in it. And this is the one time in the last how many years where at the last moment, yesterday, I changed my mind on what I was going to share today. I'd been working all the week on something else, and then yesterday God just pressed it upon me because I was using this verse to kind of look at it a little bit more. Because right now in our life, it may be the only time in your life, according to how old you are, that you've ever seen anything, experienced anything even near this. But it's not the first time in history. You do not have to go far back in our country when most families that had many children would have lost at least one of them. Or if they didn't have polio, they would have lost children. I mean, it was not unusual to go through things that were very, very difficult. And so it's just maybe the first time in a while. But we are living in a different moment right now. But the Bible says to live it day by day. You know, things people shared with me this morning that I had no idea that depending on things that happened in their family last night, what this verse meant today, that, you know, we're just going to have to take it day by day because it's a horrible situation and we don't know we can't do anything about it. The truth is, when we allow God-given day, and that's the first thing we see that God gives us, this is the day that God gives us. And then we allow Him to govern that day, to tell us, guide us in it, then it can be a happy day, a great day for rejoicing if we'll follow that pattern. This is a day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Number one, I don't know where you are, if you're here, if you're a believer or you're an atheist or whatever, but the first thing is God gives the day. It means He's the creator of the time, that we have a day because God has given it to us. And we need to see it as a gift that God grants us. He gives us a brand new day, every day. And it's a gift, and it shows us that He is our creator. He's given us this day a time to live, a time to love. You know, people shared at different times something they did over these past 7 or 8 weeks. Learning something new, teaching this, doing that, that's it. Every day should be that way. A time to work, a time to pray, a time to share. He's given it to us. But it's up to us how we're going to use it. And that's what we're going to look at quickly. How are we going to do that? Lamentations says this, it is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Regardless of the flukes you make today, if you are alive tomorrow, God gives you a brand new starting point. Isn't that great? Because we all make big flukes about every day, don't we? Absolutely. This is the day, He says, God gives us a new one every day. Every morning, a brand new day. Rather than waking up and turning over and saying, Lord, good Lord, it's morning, maybe we should say, good morning, Lord, thank you for today that you've allowed us to live. Even in all that's going on, it's a brand new day. It's a brand new start. And each one of these days, here's the thing, we'll have to answer for it one day. So we need to honestly evaluate, this is a day, a special day that God gives us. Look at this. It is a present day. What do you mean by that? It does not say it will be the day. It does not say it was the day. It says this is the day. Today. There's a great failure in Christendom of understanding this. Why? We fail to live today because we're either worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow or regretting something that we did yesterday. So we allow both of those to take us out of the day so we never live the one day that we have that something can be done. Because most of the time you can't go back and undo some of these things that happen. And you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So when both of those take you out of the day, you just lost it. You lost this day. It's gone. And it keeps repeating. There are 2 days that take you out of the joy of the day. One is yesterday and one is tomorrow. God gave us today, so we have to force ourselves to refuse to live yesterday. Probably none of us that are very old, none of us are exempt from having something that we regret that we may have done or taken part in sometime in the past. And you have to learn to let that go. People don't let things like that go, and so they're shackled in that. How many adults that we know that allow something that happened 50 years ago that controlled them, so they're still living? They never live today because of something that happened yesterday. We must refuse to live in it. Paul, the apostle, what did he say? Remember who Paul was? He was killing Christians on the road to Damascus to get verifiable papers so he could have more Christians killed when Jesus met him. That's where he was going. He was the one who held the coats while Stephen was killed. What did he say? He was the what of sinners? Chief. And this is what he writes, understanding who he was. He said, what? I count myself. He said, I don't have it all yet. I don't apprehend it. I don't understand everything yet, but this is one thing I do. I forget about all the horrible things that I've done in the past. I had to let those go. And the rest of it is, I press on for what God has in front of me. We can't live in the past. If you can do something to fix it, you just can't live there every day of your life. Why? Because some things you can't go back and undo. Are you guilty of that? Paul said, I refuse to do it. On the other hand, we must refuse to live in tomorrow. Why? If you're always worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, you'll never do justice to today. You know, and sometimes that's the downside of what we're going through right now. People get so, and please, I'm not saying be dumb. I'm saying be as smart as you can. Do everything that you can. But listen, there are some things that just have to keep going, right? We can't base everything about what might happen tomorrow and not live today. We have to. God expects it of us if we're going to trust him. Remember what Jesus said, take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take the things of itself. Sufficient unto the evil. There's enough trouble in tomorrow. Why you want to borrow it now? That's what he's saying. Too many people, Christians also, worry about everything. Well, what if? What if? You know, when you boil it all down, someone who over worries are not exercising their faith. Does God expect you to use your brain? Absolutely. Does God expect us to do everything that we can? Absolutely. And then we trust him for the rest of it. That's exactly what it means. But instead of not doing what we can do and just sitting down and worrying about it, that's a sin. Why? Because we're not trusting God. Jesus said it's like acting like a pagan. And the pagan said, there is no God, so we're going to act as if there is no God. He said, when you worry, that's exactly what you do. You're acting just like a pagan who says there is no God. When you worry about tomorrow, does it get you ready for tomorrow? No. All you're worrying about tomorrow does is to take the strength that you do have, that you could fight something going on today. You waste that energy today worrying about something tomorrow. So then today's gone. And then tomorrow when it gets here, you don't have any strength to fight it because you wasted it on yesterday. Isn't that right? This is the day, he says, that the Lord hath made. And as thy days show... as thy days, so shall the strength be. What does that mean? God will give you the strength you need tomorrow for that day. God will give you the strength you need for this day. You don't need to try to pass the days around. He's going to take care of it. He gives us enough for today. And worry does not take the sorrow out of tomorrow, does it? No. You know, thank the Lord, I didn't have that gift of worrying. My dad did. My dad was a worrier, and not extreme, but to me it was, because I didn't worry about that stuff. You know, pretty early on, I developed a trust in the Lord, and I just said, well, I'm going to do my part, and I'm not going to worry about it. But one thing he did understand, and we'll see this a little bit later, he said, listen, you do what you can, and this was mainly about, he kind of wanted to knock off early sometimes, you know. In our line of business farming, then we would work from sun up to after sundown. Some days he wanted to quit early. I said, he said, no, listen. He said, It'll be here tomorrow when we come back. And if it's not, it won't matter. He was right. He's exactly right. We do what we can today, and we don't worry about it. And then if it's there tomorrow, okay, we'll deal with it. And if it's not there tomorrow, so be it. Let it go. That's exactly right. It is a precious day. What do you mean? We need to learn the value of time, because everything, all the stuff of life, is caught up in time, isn't it? Isn't that right? It's the stuff everything's made of. So part of it is, Christy was sharing about it earlier, about how we, through this time of being separated, we kind of learn to use our time wisely to do something. That's exactly what it is. The art of living is really being able to spend your time and spend the time that God gives you wisely so that you don't waste it. The Bible says it in Psalms, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Wow. Isn't that true? God gives us a day. Maybe we should start it with Him. You ever thought about that? To realize the preciousness of the day, it might help if we start it with Him. We might spend enough time with God to get a clear sense of what His direction is. What does He want us to do? How could He use us during this time? It is not a waste of time when we're waiting on God to show us what He wants to do. The important thing is to find out what God wants us to do, not what everybody else wants you to do, or know what you're imposing on yourself that God may not want you to do. How are you going to know that? You know, sometimes we forget. We go to all these other outsources to find out, and everything we need to know is in the Scripture. What kind of husband we should be, how to be a good husband, what kind of wife we should be, how to be a good wife, how our children should act, how we should act as children, how we should handle our business, everything. Everything's there. All we have to do is spend time, and God said, this is what I want to show you. This is what I want to show you. So wouldn't it be smarter to take that time than the precious day that He's given us? If God made the day and He knows what He wants us to do, it's incumbent upon us to get along with Him to try to listen and say, God, what do you want to do? Because Stephen Covey, I think it was a few years ago in his book, he pointed out the urgent is not always the important. You know what that means? How many times have I had people over the last 25 years, they call me at midnight on Saturday night, so you got to meet with us. We're having this problem. I said, how long has that been going on? Well, it's been going on for 6 months. I said, we can't fix it tonight. Here's what you need to do. I'll talk to you next week. That goes on all the time. From a business perspective, where everybody tries to push on us what they think is right, and it might not be what God wants us to do at that moment. And the Scripture helps us discern, okay, this is what God wants to do, and He's got it there for us. Just takes a little bit of time to read it and understand some of it, but we can, absolutely. We need time to maximize the day that God gives us. What is that? You know what procrastination is? It's a sin. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, James says, it is sin. You know, obedience is the opposite. Obedience is when you find out what God wants you to do, instantly you go do it. Anything other than that is disobedience. When we recognize this is the day that God has given us, what are we going to do with it? Why? Because it's going to pass. She just said it a moment ago, this too shall pass. Aren't you glad? Yes. But the days are that way. This day is passing. Every day is passing. Jesus said, what? I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because the night is coming. There will come a time when you won't be able to do what you think you should do. So if you want to do it, you better get with it. That's all James is saying. It's passing. So whatever it is God wants you to do, you need to get started and quit waiting. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. One of the praises earlier was one of the kids was starting to be potty trained. That's a big deal, eh? How long does that take? It depends on the child. You know, a lot of times people really finally realize that some children will do it a lot earlier than the other ones. I don't care what you do to force them, it's just not going to happen until a certain time. Anyway, In those days, time runs so slow, doesn't it? Is that right? Right. When as a child I laughed and wept, time moved slow, it crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, as I got older, things started happening, time got a little faster. I walked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, wow, gets faster, doesn't it? Time ran. What does that mean? Birthdays come a lot quicker. Why do you have two birthdays a year? Does it ever feel like that? When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later, as I older grew, time flew. Wow. Boy, that happens. When does it start flying? 50? 54. According to what kind of kid you have, I think it has something to do with it, doesn't it? Soon I shall find, while traveling on, time is gone. We ain't gonna live forever. You know, who knows? Some of us might not even be alive tomorrow. You don't know that. You have no idea. It's passing. This is the day we have. We're not guaranteed anything else. Well, I know. No, you don't. You don't know anything about what's going to happen to you tomorrow. You have no idea whatsoever. You ask some of the people that have shared some stuff with us this day. Did you know that was going to happen before it happened? No idea. No one knows that. It's passing. Whatever you intend to do, you better get started. And start today. When are you going to start your diet? I'm going to start tomorrow. You ever heard anybody say, I'm going to start today? Have you? You know, dieting, that's a joke. You know, it really is. I've lost 50,000 pounds in my lifetime. Doesn't really matter, though, does it? Whatever you're going to do, this is the day you have. This is all you have. It's a providential day. This is the great part. You know what providence means? It means God's looking down the quarters of time 10 million years before you were born, and he knew exactly where you were going to be today, and he knew this epidemic or pandemic or feardemic or whatever you call it was happening. He's not surprised. It's not like he wakes up and says, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to do. I didn't know this was happening. Perfect example of that is in Genesis. Remember Joseph? Joseph was a favored son. His brothers didn't like him. They wanted to kill him. One of them finally saved him. Reuben drew him out of the well and said, no, let's sell him. And he goes down to Egypt. He's a slave. He's a prisoner for about 3 years. And then he comes up out of that, and he's the second in command in Egypt. And he saves the whole nation of Israel, basically, because he saves the father of the race at that time that all of them would come from. His dad dies, and he's standing there before his brother, and they're afraid to death because now that dad's gone, he's going to kill him. And listen to what he said. He said, everything you did, you meant to harm me, but God meant it for good. What does that mean? In God's providence, he knows what's going on. And he does everything he can to point it in the right direction for us. And in that, we have a choice. He puts a fence around it, and he says, I'm going to corral this to this place, but Randall still has to choose. And Terry still has to choose. Providence. It is a day that has come from the hand of God. Therefore, everything that happens, you mean even this cancer? I mean even bearing your own girl. I mean all of it. In God's providence. He's not surprised. In this day that he's made, it is under his care. He has to okay anything that happens in a child of his life. Even losing my mama, even losing your mama. Even losing part of my own health, even losing your own health. Providence. God knows that. This day, God knows all about it. Have you ever wondered why the psalmist would say that? This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. When all these things come our way, but we need to see the providence of God in every day, that no matter what happens, if we are committed to Christ, he okays it first. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, go read Job. Look at the things that happened to Job. Job raised his fist at God and said, I want you to meet with me and tell me. And God didn't. He didn't know all that stuff that was going on, because behind it, in God's providence, God was in still control. But Job didn't know about it. We don't know about a lot of this stuff, but God's still in control. The secret of joy is to see that the providence of God is in everything. Happiness is a choice. Well, I rejoice in this day regardless of what's going on. If I understand that God's in control, I can. If I don't, I won't. If you're committed to Christ and you're one of His, nothing in your life will happen unless God okays it. You said, I don't understand that. I don't either. But that's just the way it is. Because God says, I'll use everything. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Ephesians, giving thanks always for all things. It means you take everything in this day that God has given and you write over this verse. Look at this verse. And we know all things. Cancer, death, pandemics, polio. What was the flu in 1918? Yeah, but what did they call it? Influenza. What was it? Some epidemic. What was it? 1918? 50 million people died. All of those. Spanish, that's where it came from anyway. All things work together. Look at this part now. To those who love God. Doesn't work in a lost person's life. A lot of people try to say, oh, you know, they're fatalists. They say, well, whatever's going to be is going to be, and God's going to. That's not the way it works. It says, all things work together for good to those who are committed to Christ, who love God. That's what it means. Who are called according to His purpose. Wow. What does that mean? God knows everything that's going on. And if we trust Him and we do what we can do, we don't have to fear. This day God gave us, and He's in control of it. And we can be reminded that He's in control of it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it's just beyond our understanding. We want to have all the answers now, and we can't. Lord, we just thank You that You love us, that You have a plan, that You know what's going on, that You've looked down the corridors of time. You know exactly where we are today. You know our zip code. You know our phone number. You know what's going on. Just remind us through all this that You're still in control and that we can trust You. We'll do everything that we possibly can with the mind You've given us, but we will trust You and not be afraid because You're in control of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.